Welcome back to Casting the Net, where we seek to untangle the wide net that public health casts on our community here in East Texas. Today, we are blessed to sit down with another one of our own, Jenny Lassiter. Jenny's going to talk a little bit about our WIC department, often referred to as Women, Infant, and Children, and the many ways that WIC actually empowers family here in East Texas. Jenny is a local Tylerite, but also spent some time in Tucson, Arizona from 93 to 2005, where she attended the University of Arizona and received her Bachelor of Science in Dietetics. She also has some athleticism to accompany her wit and brains. She played soccer her freshman year at Texas Tech on scholarship, but gave that up to move back to Tucson to play club soccer for the University of Arizona. Upon completion of her bachelor's degree, Jenny attended a language school in Cuernavaca, Mexico for 2 months, where she learned to speak Spanish, which has actually assisted her greatly as a nutrition counselor in her current role as assistant director of WIC, where she has served for our community here in East Texas for 18 plus years. Jenny, welcome to Casting the Net.
Hello. Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
I hope I did your introduction justice.
I don't think I realized you were going to say all of that, but.
Well, during it, I was tempted to want to say, go! I won't stretch it out the way they would normally do it during an actual football game.
But Jenny, I was very impressed the first time that you told me that you played soccer.
Oh.
Yeah. I was like, what? She was a soccer player?
I'm surprised you didn't mention that I played on our Net Health kickball team.
Oh, yeah.
We're all very proud of her.
Back in the day.
Well, that's where I got to see it like really come to fruition and come to light. I was like, oh, yeah, she can move pretty good.
So if we ever came into a WIC staff meeting, you know how they do sometimes on social media videos, if I just rolled a soccer ball towards you, would you volley it? Would you hacky sack it? Would you do the soccer
yes,
kick tricks?
Usually, probably naturally, that would be my reaction. I still have a broken toe right now, so.
But after it heals.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
But even being a soccer player, I won't say that you're a former player because it's always going to be in you, right?
Yeah. Yes, that's so true.
You probably try to kick a soccer ball even with a broken toe.
Oh, yeah.
Like with a twisted ankle.
Yeah.
Like it wouldn't, you can't fight the itch, King.
No, I sure can't. Kick things around all the time at home. For sure. But yeah, I'm excited to be here and talk about WIC. I don't like talking about myself so much, but
it'll blend in. So this is a little bit of you and a lot of what you do for the Women, Infants, and Children's program that's operated by Net Health. So for us that work here at Net Health, we will say the full name, but for the average person, for the general public, mm-hmm. what is WIC? Because WIC is the easy way of saying what the organization is.
Right. So the Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children is kind of the formal name for WIC. I like to think of it, this was brought up at, I think it was a state conference I went to. We are very inclusive of fathers as well. And so I like to think of WIC as a wise investment in children, WIC, because, you know,
you
that's really,
there.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, why is there not a MIC, Men, Infants, and Children?
Well, WIC, like I said.
But I like that wise investment in children.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the aim is really to get kids off to a healthy start, starting with pregnancy, trying to help make sure women have a healthy pregnancy, have good health outcomes, that children are getting all those key nutrients, our pregnant women are getting key nutrients, our breastfeeding women are able to have a good variety of foods and stay hydrated so they can breastfeed their baby, offering a lot of support. And of course, WIC foods, we do give families WIC foods that have some of those key nutrients like calcium, iron, folic acid. That's why WIC was originally started, was to address a lot of the health concerns that come later for children, starting at pregnancy, at conception. That allows us to really chat with families about the importance of nutrition during pregnancy and, you know, and then from there, infant nutrition, child nutrition helps families get a healthy start and then hopefully make good decisions for their health, healthy behaviors down the road.
All around.
Yes.
I will add, going back, you should trademark that in the event that they
Are they going to rename the entire organization Wise Investment in Children?
No.
Like brand it and
I think it's just
every clinic is going
to
have
a good way to look at it and to kind of include, you know, we have grandparents that bring kids in that they're taking care of. We have foster families. And so I feel like that wise investment in children, it just kind of includes everybody. You know, we don't want the community to think it's just for moms or just for, you know, certain family members. Yeah, it's really for everybody. Who, if they have an infant or child under the age of five, then yeah, we would love for them to participate in the program.
So if there are individuals within the state level, national level administration of the Women, Infants, and Children program, they can consider actually that play on word. I mean, doing the financial comparison of compound interest when you have money in a savings account in a financial institution. The more you contribute, the over time that compound interest, I don't know what the mathematical formula is. It's one of the things I didn't pay attention to when I was in high school and college, but over years the return on investment of of children adopting healthy behaviors, there's scientific evidence of the benefits of how that child is gonna become a healthy adult by investing in their future while they're children, especially while they're young children. So there was one thing that you had mentioned a while ago where you said when WIC started. So as Net Health having WIC, that was, I don't remember if that started 2006
or
2007. Or 96, 97?
Well, I believe originally it was under Smith County WIC. And then at some point, that became Northeast Texas Public Health District. So I'm not real sure in our local area when WIC became a part of the health district.
But when did Women, Infants, and Children, when did the overall organization initially begin?
So nationally, it originated, the program started in 1974. So it is the 50th anniversary in 2024 of the WIC program. So that's a big deal. And you know, I know our state office and National WIC are, you know, kind of celebrating 50 years of WIC and looking at all the positive outcomes and changes that have resulted from the WIC program. So, yeah, that's definitely
exciting.
You've got
to see a lot of that over the course of your tenure.
And so I started working for WIC and Tyler in 2005. And I was a nutritionist. I wanted to be able to use my degree and you know, do something you know, related to my interests. And I didn't know a lot about the job, but it sounded great. And so I applied. And like you mentioned, I had just been to Mexico to learn Spanish. I really loved my Spanish courses in college. And so I just thought it was something I wanted to kind of grow in and, you know, become fluent. And so I think that's a big part of just why I loved the job so much. When I worked at our Tyler Broadway office, we did have a lot of Spanish-speaking families. And so to kind of be able to bridge that gap or that language barrier felt really great. And, you know, I was glad to use those skills, you know, as a WIC nutritionist. So, yeah, that's kind of where I started at WIC, but yeah, it's been around for 50 years. We had paper vouchers when I first started, so the sound of our printer all day long printing on that, what's that called, that like two-sided paper, I can't remember the name of it.
Well,
like the carbon?
Yes, carbon. Yeah, the carbon paper. It had the holes in the side.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it would print.
Oh yeah, when you print out, you tear off both sides because the sides have the holes on the sides.
Yes.
So I am a former WIC parent. Our youngest daughter was born in 2006, and we were clients at the WIC clinic at 411 Old Troop Highway.
Oh yeah.
Back in the day, so
I worked at that WIC office too.
I remember the foldable cards and the we still have our Lone Star card from back in the day and
that was a big change going from the paper vouchers to the WIC card that looked kind of more like a debit card. It had the gold chip.
Yep,
that was a big deal.
There was like a the state of Texas kind of character with cowboy boots and a cowboy hat on.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think I watched that video explaining the card and how it works 100 times. Some days, like when we were first initiating those changes. But yeah, you know, to be able to redeem those food benefits at the store, I think that really helped a lot for families to be able to go and use, you know, use the card and not have to pull out like a whole sleeve of kind of what looked like checks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you had to keep track of the physical paper copies of the WIC list when you go to a grocery store to check out. The cashier would either put a mark or put their initial or
so they were like
what you're redeeming.
Vouchers.
Yeah, they were actual physical vouchers, like pen and paper that you had to keep track of. And if you as a parent, if you lost it.
That's like losing money.
Yeah.
Like that. Right. Those moments hurt.
And not to mention that there were multiple food items listed on one of the checks. And so if the store didn't happen to have something you were looking for, you couldn't go to another store and find it, you know, if you had to get all of it or part of it.
Yeah, everything that was listed on that physical voucher, it was all or none.
So the card, made everything a little bit more convenient. And then just even with our nutrition education classes and things like that, we've come a long way. And we have so many different options now for families. We used to sit in a classroom style, and it was kind of more like, you know, teaching a lesson. Which, you know, sometimes they were great information, but, you know, a lot of times people didn't have 30 minutes to sit in a classroom, and they weren't always very engaging. So, you know, along the way, Texas WIC really started implementing more client-centered nutrition education. So, you know, discussion amongst our WIC families and, you know, families could learn from each other instead of, you know, one of us just standing at the front of the room blabbing about, you know, iron and vitamin A and vitamin C. So, and, you know, offering online options for them. We've come a long way too. Our local program, Ms. Takora, shout out our director. She is really open to new ideas and new ways of doing things. And so we've come up with all kinds of cool ways to offer classes, and we have food demos. We do like a WIC charcuterie board. We have some physical activity classes.
Wait, can you pronounce that word again?
Charcuterie.
Okay. That's become a funny word because sometimes people will mispronounce the word and the words they use to mispronounce the word. I just want to make sure I heard that correctly.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just to put you on the spot.
I think I used
no, you said it right.
Correctly,
you said it right.
I hope.
You said it right.
WIC done got into the charcuterie.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, we try to keep it fresh, new, interesting. Yeah. So, you know.
that's a good summary of
no caviar?
How, not yet.
Not yet.
Hey, fish is protein.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what minerals and vitamins are in. Okay, that's something. But everybody listening, if you can afford caviar,
you're probably
doing all right.
Probably doing okay. Yeah, you're probably doing all right.
It's a good bet.
But Jenny, it is safe. Is it safe to say that WIC is timeless? WIC is enduring. WIC evolves with the times.
Definitely.
You know, going from I don't know if back in 1974 it was like a literal notebook paper and pencil and pen. I don't know if it was like that back in the 70s, but how it's gone from paper to card to WIC has an app.
Right. Yeah. Very advanced app.
Whenever, you know, if we end up having barcodes tattooed on our bodies.
Is the app pretty user-friendly, you'd say?
Oh, yeah, I would say so. It's somewhat in the beginning stages. We had an older app that was called My Texas WIC. Our new app is called My WIC. And so there are a lot of new features that allow, a lot of it is just for convenience to allow families, they can upload documents in advance. We do have to collect things like proof of address, proof of ID, stuff like that. And so they can upload that in advance, schedule appointments from the app. They can see notes from there. You know, if they talk to a nutritionist or a breastfeeding counselor, they can see notes from those visits. And so it's really helpful. It's helpful in the store. That app helps keep up with the food items that are on their WIC card, what's available for the month, what's been purchased, even kind of you can look and check and see, you know, if you're at Super One, like what's their WIC approved bread or what types of WIC cereals are WIC approved that I can purchase with my WIC card. So, yeah, it's a lot different than I know a lot of people are familiar with SNAP or food stamps. There's a card that they used to look pretty similar. The WIC card does look a little bit different now. But yeah, it's quite a bit different. It's not just a dollar amount for families to go purchase any items that they want. It's for specific food items.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for our listeners that are curious, how would they know that they are eligible to enroll into WIC and to contact any of our 20 WIC clinics? That's another.
Yes.
That's another. Aspect of this interview we can get into of our regional spread of the Net Health WIC program. But how does a person become eligible to enroll
for WIC services? I would say that the easiest way, if you go to texaswic.org, it'll kind of walk you through. There's a apply for WIC option, and it kind of walks through the steps. It shows you income guidelines. So, you know, based on your income, would you be eligible for the program? Just also if families qualify for Medicaid, SNAP, or TANF, that would automatically qualify them for WIC. The website has updated income guidelines for families, and a lot of families think they won't qualify for WIC because, you know, they think, oh, well, I tried to apply for Medicaid and, you know, I didn't qualify, so we made too much money. But WIC's income guidelines are different. I want to say for a family of four, it's somewhere around the numbers just went up. I want to say it's somewhere around $4,500 to $4,800 a month if you're a family of four. If you make up to that amount, you would qualify for
WIC. So that
WIC,
would be a single parent with three kids?
Sure.
Or a married couple with two kids?
Yes.
With their kids being under the age of five? Or that
right.
would be
So that's another qualifier for the program is just they would have to be in the category of a pregnant woman, breastfeeding or postpartum, have an infant, or a child under the age of five. So that's kind of like what we talked about, the goal of WIC being, you know, starting with that prenatal health and education and, you know, making sure mom's taking a prenatal vitamin, getting everything she needs so that she has a healthy pregnancy and is able to carry baby full term, have a healthy baby. And then, yeah, you know, helping families navigate feeding their kiddos up to five. It can be really challenging and, you know, not everybody, you know, realizes like healthy foods versus unhealthy foods. There's a lot of misconceptions. And so, yeah, we kind of just help guide and, you know, work with families to offer healthy options for their kids and help keep them healthy and have a good start for, you know, when they're ready to start school.
So I want to dig into the eligibility criteria a little bit more.
Okay.
So does a pregnant woman, would her fetus, would her unborn child, would they count as a client before birth?
Yes. So we can count. That's a good question. Yeah, we can count unborn baby, the fetus, as a family member.
So as soon as a woman becomes pregnant, she can enroll for WIC.
Yes. That's correct. Yeah, okay. We don't require proof of pregnancy. You know, we do have some things we require, like proof of ID, proof of address, and then, you know, either based on your income or if you're already participating in Medicaid or the SNAP program, you would qualify.
So my reasoning for that question of going back to the compound interest, the wise investment for children, it benefits a pregnant woman by having access to folic acid, to calcium, to iron.
Right.
While that child is developing in her womb before birth. Not that there's a disadvantage of waiting until the child is born, but you're giving the child an even extra incentive, an extra advantage by getting those nutrients while the child is developing.
Yes. And there's a lot of resources available, especially in our county. They might not know about a lot of benefits, and that's a huge part of what WIC does as well, is provide referrals to other, you know, assistance programs,
other organizations.
We have some programs that we partner with, like the Dream Program and Healthy Me, Healthy Babies, that can really even give more care. Like if someone has a specific health risk, or, you know, maybe they have gestational diabetes, or
that
maybe
fall outside of the scope of specific, you know, WIC.
They can get additional care or help accessing specific health care. So there's a lot of other ways WIC, you know, helps families stay healthy, and it's making them aware of other resources in the community so that, you know, they can get that extra care that they might need.
So y'all really hit whole health, the entire health of the child, the entire health of the mother, the health of the family unit.
Yes.
Not just the child only.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we have some father engagement specialists or WIC peer dads that work in our WIC offices to kind of help engage with the fathers that come in, or, you know, they can give their information so that if dad wants to contact them, and they'll have groups that get together and they talk about, you know, how important that relationship with dad is and that brain development of the child, you know, which a lot of people may not realize. But we definitely want dad to feel included and invite him to come in for appointments. And we do have a lot of dads that come in with their kids for WIC appointments. And so, yeah, it is about the whole family, and that whole family has an impact on that child. And, you know, we want kind of everybody to be on board with making healthy choices and, you know, having access to healthy foods and resources that they might need.
So you had mentioned earlier, Jenny Lassiter, that you've been a WIC employee for, let's see, you started in 2005?
Yes.
So
see that
fast, almost 20 fast years? Math. Yeah, I won't y'all can do the math as you listen.
It'll be 19 years this year.
Oh, you said that quick, like you already have it. Yeah. So you've seen a lot.
Yeah.
You've encountered, like as a guesstimate, would you know how many clients you've...
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
And the hundreds?
Thousands?
And the thousands?
Probably.
Oh, the thousands.
Yeah. So, it's a lot. I mean, in a day sometimes in the WIC office, you know, I might talk to 15 families, you know, on a busy day.
On average, per day.
Right.
So that's some,
75 you know, probably
a week.
Less a lot of days. There
that's
might be
300
like
300 a month times 12 is 3,600 a year. Times 18.
Yeah.
Yeah, my calculator's not working past four digits. So you helped a lot of East Texans.
Yeah, definitely. Met a lot of really nice people.
So are there any success stories, any remarkable, memorable points of impact that you have made over these first 18 and a half years?
I'm glad you asked, Terrence, because... It also reminds me of when the program started back in 1974, they were really looking at reducing the incidence of iron deficiency anemia. So that was a big nutrient component they felt was missing in infants and young children that was causing a lot of health issues down the road. And so when I worked at the Troop Highway office, the office you mentioned earlier, I was a nutritionist and had been talking with a mom. We had checked the child's iron, and I want to say he was 3 or 4, or might have just turned 4. And I think she had just had some concerns about his health, but they didn't have any access to a doctor. They didn't have insurance. We checked his iron and it was pretty low. And so she had some concerns. It wasn't low enough to send them to the ER or anything like that. But she was definitely concerned. And we talked about iron rich foods and, you know, combining those foods with vitamin C and, you know, all the things that we talk about. And she felt pretty confident she could kind of, you know, work on getting his iron back up. So she came back a little sooner than we would normally see. You know, usually we're just checking height, weight, and iron for our kiddos and our pregnant women about, you know, annually. We're not, you know, they do have kind of like a, what we call a mid-certification appointment where we check height, weight, and iron. But I think she brought him back in about 2 months, and the iron was even lower. So I could tell she was very concerned, and she had been adamant that, you know, she's been giving these iron-rich foods. And she also mentioned just that his energy level had changed. And, you know, a 3-4-year-old boy, typically they're very active,
they don't
lots
stay
of
still
energy.
Unless they're asleep.
Right. And I called our local RD, which is another great benefit of WIC. We do have access to registered dietitians that work for our program, also lactation consultants. So I called our RD and I asked her, you know, like, hey, I'm really concerned about this mom. She's not seeing a doctor. She doesn't have insurance right now. You know, she was kind of in the process working on it, but didn't have anywhere to go. You know, what should I do? Where should I send her? You know, what else can I offer her? And the registered dietitian told me, you know, they probably need to go to the ER. If you're seeing that iron level
drop that much.
And it's, yeah, and it's dropped that much in that amount of time, and the mom has all these concerns, I would recommend. And so I did. I talked with the mom, and she, I think it was that day or the next day, took him in, and it turns out he had a form of cancer. So, you know, they would have never caught that if they didn't come in. And so that, to me, just kind of, you know, kids don't want to have their finger poked. Like, nobody really likes having blood drawn at the doctor's office. But it is a really important, you
I'm
know,
sorry. You say that and I laugh. I'm thinking of that scene in Elf when Buddy going to the doctor. It's like, ow, he hurt me.
Yeah, and it's not so bad. I mean, really, I think it's more of like kids are just scared because they don't know what
to
expect.
Not knowing what's
going to
happen.
Right. It's
after.
It's a very easy. It's a little finger prick, kind of like for people who have to test their blood for, you know, if they're diabetic and they have to test their blood sugar regularly. It's pretty simple, but, you know, kids get scared about that stuff. But
he,
it is
he
important.
They may not have even thought of
right
him having cancer.
Right.
By you not having that foresight. Would that be
right?
Would
yeah,
that be fair
and,
to say?
And I think, you know, our staff, we do really, like, if there is a situation or families have a concern, or we notice kind of a red flag, something doesn't look right, or like we're looking at growth and something's off, you know, being able to make sure that they do, you know, get in for some kind of care, whether that's, you know, with their doctor, if they don't have a doctor. Sometimes there are community clinics that can see families maybe who don't have insurance at the time. And so that was really helpful. I really, once I had worked for WIC a while and got to know the community better, I really felt like I was more of an asset to our WIC families because, you know, I was better able to refer. I knew what was going on in the community. And that's changed so much. I mean, really now there's so many more programs and opportunities for families to, you know, access care and have, you know, if there are needs like, you know, a child that has a specific health concern, you know, we can refer to, you know, therapy or, you know, or a pregnant woman that needs some mental health counseling. Like, there's opportunities for that. You know, there's just more options than there used to be as far as, like, being able to refer out. And so, yeah, I think that's something really important that WIC does. And then just, like, a bigger picture, now I see comments that come in from our WIC participants on a daily basis. They're sent a survey after their visit. And seeing daily families commenting on how much they appreciate the time that our breastfeeding counselor took to really work with them. They had been really struggling and weren't getting any support from friends or family, but they were able to, you know, get baby latched and breastfeed successfully because of our breastfeeding counselor. Like, that kind of stuff is just like really, I think keeps me motivated to, you know, keep working hard and doing what we do, because I think our families really do benefit from it. And, you know, I know our staff work really, really hard. And I see that because I see those comments that come in and people who, you know, might not have otherwise had any support or help if they didn't come to WIC. So
can we give a quick shout out to your staff? So everybody listening, yes. There's not just Jenny. There are 90 Jennies. There are 100. I don't know how many.
Around 100.
Total employees are
around 100.
But yes. WIC accounts for what, over two-thirds of NetHealth?
Two-thirds of NetHealth's total employee population, employee base. But like I mentioned earlier, we have WIC clinics in 20 different cities mm-hmm. all over East Texas. Just go ahead and put you on the spot, Jenny. Can you name all 20 cities?
I can. I feel like that would take up time.
Oh, we got time.
But yeah, we have a couple clinics in Tyler.
So, I mean, we are all over East Texas.
Yeah, Jacksonville, Palestine, Mount Pleasant, Clarksville, Lyndale, Henderson, Carthage, Gun Barrel City, Athens. I'm forgetting people. Oh, no, this is bad.
Look what you did, Terrence.
We have a lot. Gilmer, Dangerfield, Canton.
Yeah, Canton, Atlanta.
Atlanta.
The one you leave out
Jefferson,
is going to be so
Clarksville.
Yeah. Marshall.
You hit Dangerfield.
Yes.
Carthage.
Yes, got Carthage.
Alto. Okay, is it Alto or Alto?
Alto?
Alto.
I think it's Alto, yeah.
It's like potato, potato.
Yeah.
Winona or Winona.
But kind of going back to what you were saying, Jenny, and I've heard this from a few of our WIC employees, that like some of the women and families mm-hmm. that come in, just having somebody to talk to.
Yes.
You know, how big and
that's
huge. How important that is.
Yeah, and I think families, when you have young children, you know, you might not get out quite as much, or you might, especially with a newborn, you're not going to be out and about as much. And yeah, mm-hmm. sometimes I think, you know, I can tell families just really need somebody to talk to, or, you know, enjoy having someone check in on them to make mm-hmm. sure they're doing okay. Or I know for moms and dads, like sometimes it can just feel very lonely. And so, you know, I think having that person check in, we really do try to, you know, make things uncomplicated. We don't want the process for a family that's trying to apply for WIC. We want to eliminate barriers.
Because there's already so many to begin with.
Yes.
And that's going to push them away
if
it seemed as difficult.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of programs get a bad rap for just kind of like not following up, or just, you know, you can't talk to a human, or you can't figure out why things aren't approved. And so we really do try to make the process as smooth as possible. And I mean, yeah, all of our staff deserve a huge shout out. I mean, they do an amazing job. And I think it's wonderful and beautiful that WIC is always changing, and we're always trying to create, you know, like the app and new technology to make things easier for our families. But it's also a lot to keep up with for our staff.
I can imagine
it's a
so.
Lot to learn. Just our system alone, it's made specifically for Texas WIC. It takes a while. So like when we hire someone, it takes a while to really get them well trained and feel comfortable and confident in how to do all the different things that we do. But it definitely takes a special kind of person to work for WIC. And, you know, I love working with our staff because I feel like they care and they have a very caring spirit. They're fun. You have to be able to laugh. Sometimes we do deal with a lot of heavy stuff some days. You know, it's a wonderful, wonderful feeling to be able to provide the services we provide. And
it's like you're a good example.
We're lucky to do
Jenny,
what we do.
You've been here 18, 19 years. The WIC director, Takora Smith, mm-hmm. she's been here 20 years.
Yeah, she
got
just
a,
hit the big
a
20.
Service award
uh-huh.
Last month. You have employees that have been here. At least one that comes to mind has been here for 40 years.
Yeah. Rebecca.
So she was hired in 1984.
Yes.
But how you say it takes a special type of personality.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a well-crafted character mm-hmm. in order to be a WIC employee. So this is a pitch to everybody that's listening. If you're interested, considering and want to become a WIC employee, you can go to our website, mynethealth.org, where we list our – job openings, job applications? Because like you mentioned, you'll have breastfeeding counselors, mm-hmm. you have nutritionists.
Yes. IBCLCs, we have nutrition assistants.
Wait, there's another, that's not a word. What was, it's like charcuterie. Like you just say it, just rolls off your tongue.
Lactation consultant?
No, the IBCLC.
Oh, IBCLC. Yeah, that's a lactation consultant.
So what do those letters stand for, the IBCLC?
International Board Certified Lactation Consultant.
And what does that person do?
So they can handle more complicated issues with for moms that are breastfeeding and they have something going on that our breastfeeding counselor, maybe it's outside of their scope, our lactation consultant. I will say, shout out to Megan. She's our IBCLC on staff right now. And we actually have a healthcare provider partnership right now where we have some local healthcare providers that refer. They can refer their patients to Megan when they need help with breastfeeding. And so I want to say she probably had like over 100 referrals, I know, last quarter, just from that program. The peer counselor program is wonderful. Miss Bonnie Barker, she's our breastfeeding coordinator. She's worked for WIC for a long time too. I don't know exactly mm-hmm. how many years.
It's been over 20.
Yeah.
Close to 20. Well, no, over 25.
Yeah. Her and Megan work together to kind of, oversee our breastfeeding counselor program and, make sure everybody kind of stays up to date on all the current research and topics that come up with breastfeeding. And that's something else, for WIC as a whole that's really important in promoting health overall, that, we know how healthy breastfeeding is for mom and for baby. Of course, we support families however they decide to feed their baby. We also help with infant formula. But having that breastfeeding initiation rate, which is basically like how many moms at birth are breastfeeding their baby, has increased substantially over the years. In the 90s, it was around in the 40th percentile somewhere. And then in 2016, it was up to around 71, 74, somewhere around there.
So it was like making a comeback?
Right. And that's from WIC, participating in WIC helped increase that rate by that large of a percentage. And so that's something I think
and
our staff
WIC offices do a lot of advocating for.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. And yeah, we definitely also want to support families that don't breastfeed. Of course, like we want to support and be there for however you decide to feed your family. But there are a lot of benefits for those moms that can and want to breastfeed. And so yeah, that's something we talk to our pregnant women about, is just all those benefits that come from breastfeeding. And so, yeah.
And so just hitting on that statistic where you said it's increased from 40% to 70%, which is probably even higher than 70% now.
Oh yeah, I would guess now. I know we look at breastfeeding rates every month just as a local agency, and some of our clinics are at 90%, some are in the 80s, some are in the high 70, mm-hmm. 78-79%. So yeah, just kind of talking to moms about breastfeeding, getting them comfortable with the idea and preparing them for like that hospital experience. Because a lot of times for first time moms, they just have no idea what to expect. And so that's something our peer counselors and sometimes our nutritionist as well, just kind of, like to talk with moms and let them know kind of what to expect. And if this is your plan, then, make sure, you let the doctor know that this is your plan, and talking about common complications with breastfeeding and kind of how to overcome those. And, I think feeding a baby is challenging initially because, they're so tiny, their stomachs are so tiny, they can only eat,
so much at one time.
Yeah, I know participants always say like, oh, he eats so much, he's eating too often, but, their stomachs are really small, so they can only take an ounce or 2 ounces at a time. So that means every hour and a half to 2 hours, they're hungry. So those first few weeks can be stressful, hard. I just like to look at moms and say like, hey, how are you doing? Are you doing okay? Do you have any help? What's going on? And I think our nutritionists are really good at just kind of trying to make that connection and not just give nutrition information, but, you know, offer support and help. And of course, we want to make sure our baby's getting enough to eat and that everyone knows how to sanitize bottles and all that good stuff. But
with the 20 clinics, y'all have had a very broad impact on public health outcomes in Northeast Texas through just that being as an example, that statistic of breastfeeding
initiation.
But on the flip side, it's also important to highlight how some moms may have difficulty breastfeeding, starting for their child to latch, whether they may have some success after they give birth, but they may have some type of issue when they leave from the hospital, when they're at home, and that's another service, another benefit that our WIC staff can provide after they are back at home and they start to get into what the actual routine that they want to develop with their child. So it shouldn't be discouraging that if you're a mother listening and your child did not breastfeed or you weren't able to have your child to breastfeed, if you're a pregnant mom and you're considering breastfeeding or not, that our WIC clinics are here to support you whether you are able to breastfeed your child or not.
Yeah, that's true. And breastfeeding isn't always easy. I think for a time, I think healthcare providers and WIC, we really pushed it as breastfeeding is best. But I think, you know, at some point, Texas WIC kind of changed the way we communicate about breastfeeding to, you know, breastfeeding can be hard and we can help you, because that's the truth. Like, sure, yes, it's healthy and there's all these wonderful benefits, but we also know that people may have challenges. We love to hear when it is a magical experience and the hospital and everything goes perfectly. That happens a lot too, but it doesn't for everyone. And so, you know, I think it's probably helpful for moms to know that, yeah, a lot of people have some initial like complications or just little challenges, even if it's nothing big, you know, and so we can help with that.
I'm sure hearing some of those messages and them shifting maybe to that kind of messaging, because it could be discouraging,
right?
And create insecurity.
Oh, yeah.
To be like, oh, it's supposed to be going this way, but it's not.
Yes.
Therefore, there's something wrong.
Right.
And so, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's something else cool about WIC. We really do try to tailor, if it's coming from our nutritionist or registered dietitian, a lactation consultant, tailoring the information to each individual family, because every family is so different. Like I mentioned, sometimes we have foster families that are bringing kiddos in, and it might be a child who has a feeding tube, and our nutritionist might not have the capacity to help them with all of those feeding challenges. So we do have our registered dietitians that we can refer those families to, or, you know, we may have specialists outside of WIC that we can refer to if they're needing, some kind of oral therapy or something like that. I think that's a important piece, is just that we are able to kind of help make those connections for people who might not be getting the help they need with certain situations. So
you've mentioned your history starting in 2005, and here we are now in 2024. So 19 years from now, which would be 2043. I didn't realize I'd be doing so much math in this interview. How do you envision, or what info have you gleaned from the Texas State WIC organization, even from the national level, of how WIC is going to evolve from now to, I'd say, 2040? So what, 16 years from now? What's the future of WIC?
I think, one really cool thing about NetHealth is that we do partner with so many other programs, and in the last few years, we've really been able to kind of connect with healthcare providers and like get everybody on the same page so that families are getting everything that they need. And so, like I mentioned, the Dream program, where if our nutritionist notices a pregnancy that's maybe a high-risk pregnancy or someone who has conditions that, you know, she could really use some extra attention, they're able to refer her to the Dream Program, and then they get more one-on-one care and attention to help make sure that they have a healthy pregnancy, that they, you know, like I just heard one of the community health workers, Anna, talking to a mom the other day who her Medicaid hadn't gone through yet, and she didn't understand why, and it had been some weeks, and so she went ahead and made that phone call to reach out, and, you know, has, you know, knows who to call and contact, because we don't want that mom to end up without health insurance, right? And especially if she needs attention or has a condition that needs attention. And so being able to partner, and then also for our participants, the future, I feel like, is just, like, there's some really cool things. I mentioned the app. I know not everyone loves technology, but for people who do, I hear really wonderful things about the app. Our clients really appreciate being able to kind of like have everything available when they're at the store. They can see which WIC-approved foods are available in the store, what's left on their WIC card, you know, reschedule an appointment. In the future, I almost hate to mention it because it could be 2026 before the technology is there, or until Texas WIC is able to follow through
with
it.
You're giving us a spoiler of
something
to come?
We would love to eventually be able to update the WIC card remotely. So right now it's something, you know, we have a card reader, and if, let's say, a parent, their child, they find out their child's lactose intolerant, and so they need lactose-free milk. Well, what we issue to that card is not lactose-free milk. It's going to be regular milk at the store.
So do they have to come back to the clinic?
Yes, they would have to physically come back to the clinic, and then we would update, you know, make those changes in our system, and then, you know, read and update the card. And so that's an extra trip. And then our families do come in every 3 months for some type of nutrition education, WIC food benefits. You know, it might be the one-on-one counseling. And so that's a lot to ask somebody to come, you know, go back and forth with the formula shortage. Man, our nutritionists, it was a rough time because we had so many families. Our participants had a rough time, you know, would issue, let's say, a particular formula to their WIC card, and then they go to the store and it's not available. And, you know, everybody was kind of dealing with that formula shortage. But then to have to drive back to the WIC office, have us make a change, that's very time consuming for our participants, you know, and also for our staff, of course. And so that, I think, would be, that's something I'm looking forward to that I think is coming, you know, hopefully at least within the next 4 years or so. Maybe it'll be next year. I don't know, but I don't have the inside scoop.
Would you say that they'd maybe push back or on that? Do you think that would affect like retention of people, like not visiting as often as maybe y'all would hope they would, like kind of not coming to the clinic as often as
possibly? Yeah. I mean, I think the intent is always to have that in-person contact because we do weigh, measure, check iron. So we do, but then like for those appointments in between, you know, if they wanted to choose to do an online nutrition class, there's live classes that families can take through Texas WIC and through texaswic.org, also through the app. Okay. There's self-paced learning, and so if they chose to do something like that, and then, you know,
so there's already other things in place that would be kind of similar.
I don't feel like, I think education is super important, and that's something that WIC will always, you know, making sure families, like, you know, that we're able to reach them and make sure we're talking about those key nutrients and touching base with mom about breastfeeding before she's ready to deliver, little things like that. That's very important. So I think we wouldn't be lacking in the education or contact. It would just be a different kind of contact. WIC is already preparing to set up for virtual visits.
Okay.
So that's something that, you know, technically they might not be in the clinic, but we could, you know, meet with a family virtually and talk to them.
So they would be in the clinic, or virtually in the clinic, not physically in the clinic. I know we brought this up in a previous podcast episode where some of the modern conveniences of life, of society is... for some situations, you don't even have to leave your house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For food delivery, mm-hmm. prescription medication delivery. Mm-hmm. And that's, and for certain circumstances, that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. But for our 20 WIC clinics, there's a deeper element of the social connectivity
mm-hmm.
that our staff provides mm-hmm. to clients that. Hopefully 20 years from now, 50 years from now, mm-hmm. when WIC has its 100th year anniversary, mm-hmm. that social element doesn't go away because right. they still need, you know, the way a mother and child needs yeah. to connect face-to-face physically.
I agree.
Parents, WIC clients, whether they're a mother, father, step-parent, grandparent, mm-hmm. still need that.
I agree.
Interpersonal, visual, face-to-face
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
interaction.
And that's the intention. Like when I mention, you know, an initial visit, for example, I think that will always be an in-person. You know, I say always, but that won't change anytime
like it should
soon.
Be.
Right.
Always be in-person.
And then those, when we're checking height, weight, and iron, you know, those are meant to be in-person visits. But there are visits in between when we're kind of, it's a more informal, just kind of touching base with families, making sure they don't have questions, letting them choose from different nutrition education options that we may have. We do have a lot of different options right now. We have in-person classes, online. We have self-paced. We have kits they can take home. There's a gardening kit that they can take home and do with their children. Shout out to Tammy. She's our nutrition ed coordinator. She kind of helped develop our nutrition education plan for this year. So, yeah, we do have lots of different options for families to partake in nutrition education. And that is a really... important part of the program, and you know, I don't think it would be the same without it. But those in-person visits, I think, will, like you said, having that one-on-one and having that kind of contact is important.
Y'all experienced that. I mean, the kind of social isolation mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. during COVID.
Oh,
I mean, y'all had
yes.
moms reaching out, mm-hmm. being like, we miss
yes.
coming to these appointments in person.
We did. I mean, we had families that would peek in and wave and just, you know, want to come in and chat. And you do definitely develop a relationship when you're talking with someone every few months and watching their kids grow. Yeah, you develop a relationship and a rapport. And so, again, I think that's also an important part. It's a little bit different than a relationship with a healthcare, you know, your doctor or something, because WIC is just a little bit more of a relaxed atmosphere and less formal and kind of meant to be more of a support. And I feel like generally our families feel comfortable talking with us about things that they might not bring up to the doctor. And so I think it is a beautiful part of WIC. And yeah, we missed that during COVID. You know, it was a lot of staring at a computer screen and talking with people over the phone. And, you know, while I'm sure a lot of people appreciated that, you know, there were waivers during that time so that they weren't bringing their child into a public place where they would be exposed to potential hazard. I think families really appreciated that, and a lot of them communicated, you know, thank you so much for giving us this option that we can
being flexible.
Yes, talk over the phone. But yeah, we are back in person now, and it was rough for a lot of our staff because we like to be around people, we like mm-hmm. to talk to people, we like that interaction, and so it was definitely something we missed, and I know a lot of our WIC families missed it. And then I know there's probably a lot of families that would love to just keep you know,
keep it the way.
Yeah.
They got a certain level of comfort.
Yes, for sure. But, you know, I think even with our younger families, you know, I guess my assumption initially was that they'd probably prefer an online class or, you know, we might have a hard time getting them used to the change and coming back in person. But, you know, a lot of people really enjoy the in-person contact. So.
And I think just having all the available options is just so key. Because, I mean, mm-hmm. I think COVID affected everybody on it. You know, everybody's kind of on a different social spectrum.
In some way.
It's like whether you're an antisocial person who's a homebody, it's mm-hmm. like, oh, yeah, this is the way to go.
Or mm-hmm. if you're a social
butterfly, yeah.
Yeah, my wife is a free-floating, fluttering butterfly. Like, she thrives on...
Yeah.
On social interaction. So when the pandemic happened, how can I talk to people? I can't regenerate. I need interaction, and it really fully hasn't been made evident how the pandemic has affected mm-hmm. social connectivity interaction.
Yeah.
It's still gonna take a few years, if not a decade or so. But what Thomas was mentioning, it's good to have a wide variety of options of how mm-hmm. parents can interact with our WIC staff and our 20 clinics. So the online options work for some, but for grandparents, because mm-hmm. they're eligible to be WIC
right.
client to bring their, if they're the primary guardian mm-hmm. caregiver of their grandkids,
yeah.
They need that in-person
mm-hmm.
visit, that one-on-one connection with a WIC employee to have access to everything that's as available if I do have an app. If I'm
mm-hmm.
if I'm a 20-something, 30-something, I can just push a couple of buttons. But now, baby, I need to sit down with you. I need to talk. I need somebody to help me with all of this.
Do you not understand I used a paper map to get here?
Hey now.
Nah. But yeah, we're from that generation. Jenny and I.
Kids
yeah,
keep you young,
we still,
though.
We still have paper maps, the Atlas maps. You had to unfold and unfold and still unfold before it was fully open.
I spoke about this the other day with somebody when I was born here in Texas, but we moved to California in 2000. It was like into 99 going into 2000. And I do remember stopping at the rest stops, and my dad flopping out that big old map.
Put it on the hood of the car.
Put it on the hood.
Yep.
Oh, man.
I know. It's hard to imagine how we made it anywhere without having GPS. But because I'm terrible with direction. But I remember driving up to Dallas and having to pull over and get out a map. My grandma always made sure I had a really good map in my car, and I needed it many times.
It was a birthday present.
Yes.
Some years, you know, you get those gifts that you don't. It's like, oh, this is a lame gift. And then you have that situation. Oh, man, this really came in handy. Thanks, Grandma.
She's a very practical gift giver, which I appreciate. Yes. Yeah.
But see, that comes with age. You know, as you get older, you realize the good gifts to give, you know,
but
somebody's going to use.
I'll remember
kids
on
that are WIC clients now that are younger than age five. They're not going to know anything about having to unfold a paper map. That's a lost art. I know I'm showing my age, everybody, but it's all good.
I'm prepping for the big EMP strike when we go back to Stone Age. When
have my stick and your stick and chisel
yeah. But WIC is about change. Things are always changing. There are new updates weekly sometimes. And so, you know, I really want to give it up to our staff for keeping up with everything and being a good resource for our WIC families. And then, our WIC families sometimes inform us of, hey, did you know on the app, you know, things that we might not have noticed, or they kind of keep us on our toes too.
So flashing back to when we were WIC parents, 2006, 2007, 2008. So back then it was cheese, eggs, mm-hmm. peanut butter, beans. See, nowadays, like we joked earlier, surprise caviar is now on the list. But like there are some food items that are eligible
definitely.
That weren't eligible back in 2006, 2007.
Right.
Tortillas.
Yes.
Tofu.
Yes. Soy milk. Yeah, you know, soy milk is eligible. Lactose-free milk. Rice, brown rice is an option. Corn or whole wheat tortillas. We actually offer whole wheat pasta, you know, some families, maybe if they don't eat a lot of bread or, mm-hmm. you know, they might prefer the brown rice or whole wheat pasta or tortilla instead. So, and I do feel like WIC is still working on expanding to kind of have more foods available for people who just like culturally kind of have a different, you know, cook differently, you know. So that's something that they're constantly kind of trying to revise. An
ethnically diverse eligibility of food items.
Yes, because, you know, not everybody eats peanut butter. A lot of people don't like peanut butter.
I don't trust people that don't eat peanut
haven't
butter.
Been exposed. You'd be surprised. Yeah.
Peanut allergies are a real thing, folks.
Yeah, so. And yeah. So there's like a, you can, but you know, that protein and iron option is important. So like there's canned beans, dry beans, there are other options. Even canned tuna is an option for some WIC participants, some canned fish options. And the fruit and veggie option, I haven't really talked about it, but that's a huge change that we now offer a dollar amount for families to purchase fresh or frozen fruits and veggies. And they purchase the heck out of some fresh fruits and vegetables and love it. And it's so cool to see, you know, that kids are enjoying and like trying new fruits that they've never had before. And we even partner with the farmers market, and families are eligible to receive some additional vouchers to go get produce at the farmers market. And so that's helping our farmers out. And then also mm-hmm. our WIC families have more access to those fresh foods in the summertime. And so that's something really cool too. And that dollar amount, it started sometime during COVID. It was bumped up from, you know, for a child around $9 a month to $24 a month. And so that's a big change. And that allows for, I mean, you know, think about $9 and fruits and veggies. It's not a lot. And so to be able to more than double that, I think, I've had, like, our families have given a lot of good feedback about that, and just that they really love, you know, having that extra benefit.
So to do some more math, I'm being doing some spontaneous calculations during this interview. So with the farmers market nutrition program that mm-hmm. you just mentioned, so it is a voucher for each eligible child in that family and for the parent.
Right.
Correct?
I believe our pregnant women also qualify for that dollar amount. And I want to say there's been some changes this year in who qualifies for it. I don't know if infants over 6 months qualify. Because, you know, a lot of people make their own baby food. I'd have to get with Tammy. She's the expert on farmers market. She would know more about that. But yes, definitely there's several family members that, you know, who participate in the WIC program that might also be eligible for farmers market benefits. So
just for a quick run through our Women, Infants, and Children program, you provide access to nutritious, healthy foods at grocery stores. You educate people how to grow their own food with the gardening program. There's the breastfeeding support. There's the education on meal prep, meal planning. There's the social support, emotional, psychosocial mm-hmm. support. Is there anything that y'all don't do? I already ran out of one hand.
Yeah.
Start on my next.
Yeah, there are a lot of things I could touch on. I mean, there really are so many things that we try to assist with, like keeping kids, like their immunizations updated, referring to the immunization department. That
how you mentioned the referrals through the healthcare provider mm-hmm. outreach program,
right?
Referring to the Healthy Me, Healthy Babies Coalition, mm-hmm. the Dream Program. Y'all are literally the backbone, or
yeah.
you're at least, you make up a few vertebrae in the backbone mm-hmm. of rural health
yeah.
in Northeast Texas.
Yeah.
Like it can't be understated how important our WIC clinics are in our 20 different cities, or 20, 20 cities or 20 counties?
20. We're in 20 cities.
In 20 cities. So that's, like we mentioned before, as far north as Clarksville and Atlanta, as far east as Marshall, Jefferson, Carthage, as far south as Jacksonville, as far west as Gun Barrel City, Athens. I'm not going to list all 20 because I know I'll leave one out too. But
yeah, I think that's a good overview. That's a good synopsis. I do a lot.
Yes.
I just remember in biology learning about human anatomy, your top two vertebrae is the atlas and the axis. And it's not the top vertebrae, the atlas, it's the axis, the second one. It's the one that actually controls you being able to swivel your head left and right to look around. And to me, Wick is the axis vertebrae. Like you direct, you can, y'all have involvement with directing families toward a healthy future. You help them turn into the correct direction to have a healthy future.
We pivot when we need to pivot.
That WIC acronym, was it Wise Investment in Children?
Yes.
And then during the interview, I was thinking it could be We Infinitely Change. Because you're always updating your programs.
That would be accurate.
I was what, every 5 years, every 10 years, it's a new something new comes out.
Yes.
But all that's to say, folks, is WIC does change. Y'all got a lot to talk about. WIC is another very content-rich department of ours here at NetHealth. We will likely have, if not Jenny, somebody else from our WIC department to come back. To maybe go a little bit more in depth on some of these specific topics and experiences that, you know, y'all have.
I definitely feel like a representative from the Dream Program and the Healthy Me, Healthy Babies Program. There's so much that those programs have going on, and they're connecting families in so many ways to healthcare that they need and community programs that they need. That for sure, I think it'd be great to have them. One of our breastfeeding counselors or our IBCLC, Megan.
If somebody listening would want to refer to WIC or more information, where would they go to find more information?
So all of our WIC clinics have a Facebook page, and they pretty regularly update it with anything going on at the clinic, nutrition education classes that are available. Any changes that our participants should be aware of. TexasWIC.org is a great resource if you're new to WIC and you don't know much about it. That's a great place to start. The Facebook page, usually if you just search your town with WIC, you'll find, for example, Jacksonville WIC or Henderson WIC. You should be easily able to locate that clinic and their information. And you can always call them. You know, they're happy to walk you through how to apply, you know, let you know if you may be eligible and, you know, set up an appointment. And so a lot of that information is there. Of course, the NetHealth website, mynethealth.org, you can find our WIC services there as well, and phone numbers to clinics. There's a lot of different ways.
And if a family doesn't live in Henderson or Jacksonville, they can locate where their nearest WIC clinic is.
Yes. I believe there's a feature for that at TexasWIC.org. If you plug in your zip code, it'll locate the nearest WIC office. So,
and for any of you listening, we'll go ahead and we'll plug that link in the show notes.
Awesome.
For you to be able to access that. You travel to all of our clinics.
Yeah, so I work as our quality assurance coordinator as well. And, you know, I got to make sure everybody's following the rules.
You get the miles.
It's not always
the
most fun job. And I know staff sometimes get nervous when I'm around, but, you know, we got to make sure.
Is it the vibe where, here comes Jenny? Yeah.
I may have been called the police before, which I do find.
Yeah, y'all just keep y'all's eye out for those little turquoise WIC vans that drive around. You might see Jenny on the roads.
Yeah. It might be our lactation consultant helping someone. There's so many things we didn't even talk about. We have our lactation consultant and breastfeeding counselors help in some of the local hospitals. Mm-hmm. I know in Athens and Henderson and Tyler. Anyway, yeah, there's so many things that staff are involved in. So we're everywhere. You probably have seen the turquoise vehicle.
We're definitely going to have you back, Jenny.
For the listeners, based on what content that you heard from Jenny Lassiter, if you thought of any questions that you would want to ask to Jenny, you can send an email through our email address that we have. It's castingthenet@netphd.org. There are things that we see, there are things that we hear, there are things that we know about from the public health perspective, but there are things that you see that directly affect your lives about public health that we may not always know what your perspective is on public health. So we thrive on learning how we can better serve you as your health department in Northeast Texas.
And with that, Jenny?
They were just staring at me as I said that.
Thank you for coming out. Thank you for your expertise, and thank you for your service to our community for your almost 19 years now. So
it's been a pleasure. I love working for WIC, and I love that, you know, there's been a lot more emphasis on food as medicine, you know, and it's interesting. One of the doctors that was doing a lot of research when WIC was first, you know, that pilot program that you mentioned was initiated before 1974, that was kind of their thinking, was that using food as, you know, prescribing food and food packages to help eliminate those nutrient deficiencies. And so that's exactly, you know, what the program is and, you know, what we aim to do. So, yeah, I'm glad that I feel like that's been, you know, a hot topic in the last few years, and people are kind of realizing how important nutrition and food is for just overall health and well-being. And so, yeah, bringing it all back.
Appreciate y'all tuning in, and stay tuned for our next episode. Hit that like, follow, subscribe button, and stay tuned.